Lead us through the roll.
Alton.
Here.
Clark.
Here.
Donnelly Cohen.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Fury.
Here.
Keir.
Here.
Montgomery.
Here.
Unger.
Here.
Varco.
Here.
I think that's all of us. So, folks, our agenda today is just to get an update on where we're at in the maps, but I have one or two housekeeping things that I wanted to touch on before we turned it over to our consultant to kind of lead us on the current status. We talked through most of this at the last meeting, but just wanted to confirm we're meeting today, obviously, in person. We are scheduled for Tuesday in council chambers, so 3-8. I think notice is going out today. For that in person, and then we have the 11th at Rondo Community Library, and then our Charter Commission intent to vote on it would be on the 16th, and that would be in room 40 here at City Hall. So that's our kind of calendar of upcoming meetings. We did have some discussion about the ability.
Just run through it again one more time.
Sure. So it would be Friday the 4th today, then Tuesday the 8th. It would be at Council Chambers. I believe 3 o'clock. Then Friday the 11th, again at 3 o'clock at Rondo Community Library. And then Wednesday the 16th, room 40 at City Hall. I think we're aiming for 3 o'clock for that as well. So, yeah, Mr. Olson.
Just one other. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one other comment, and that is that when we send out the notice to the commissioners, the notice should go to all of the commissioners, and then, Kristen, if you would put a note in that to invite the commissioners to all come, even though they're not on the committee, so that they can have full information if they want to do that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's part of the challenge of this process is if we have commissioners that haven't been a part of any of these Charter Review Commission meetings and they walk in on the 16th unaware of the maps or the process, we may have some challenges with them not being comfortable and, again, understanding the timeline that we need to move forward on to allow for council to be able to do their work. These are the time slots that we're working through as well. I did also send a notice copying Mayor's Office staff and Council President's office asking if there are additional resources that they can provide in supporting our public hearing to ensure that it's not it's not too small of a group or that it's a more representative and inclusive group. And we also had discussions. Our council gave us feedback that we are able to meet under the emergency via Zoom. But after some discussions with review commission members, there was some concern that technology wouldn't allow for the kind of engagement that we would like amongst ourselves in that discussion. And so the decision was made to have these meetings be in person so that all the folks can access the information that Mr. Heller is going to provide for us kind of on an equal footing and be able to ask those questions and be interactive in a way that will hopefully allow folks to feel comfortable. With that said, there also are these other tools and means to engage with folks. Where City Clerk has identified we do have a email address that we can provide to the public for them to be able to send information back. And I have that here. Kristen, do you have it or Sherry?
Yep, it's chartercommission@ci.stpaul.mn.us.
And so that's one we should use as we're engaging or having conversations in community, folks to provide feedback, and then we can share access to that feedback with Mr. Heller and with the commission and in a way that we can be informed and have that input from the public. I did ask our folks at the city if there's other resources to do or if there is interest from the council or the mayor's office and assisting with any other digital or Zoom engagement. Again, for us to gather that, it doesn't need to be all of us in the room either. It can be submitted by others or other public events engaging around redistricting. And I haven't heard back from folks about interest in doing that or the resources. Again, we had mentioned at the last meeting, mayor's office staff had been suggested as possible resource for reaching out to similar groups and folks that participated in the census in the first place. And so, again, our input to Mr. Heller is going to be the best that we can provide, but we'd love to have a cast a larger net and have more feedback from the community. Any questions on that? And I also, again, even with the best of intentions, I'm not sure when and where we would fit in that additional remote meeting in our timeline as well. So that's part of that other challenge. No other questions. I will turn it over to Mr. Heller to give us an update on the status of maps thus far. I know I've talked with a couple of the commission members who are excited and interested in looking at maps so they can see where streets and lines are coming together. And love your update on kind of where we're at, knowing that we had set the 11th as a time to hone in on a little bit more concrete maps, but this would be the kind of first update from you. So, Mr. Heller.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that. I have been working, I feel like, round the clock to get you a map to show you today, and I've done that. And I'm going to share my screen with you in a minute and let you all take a look at a first crack, a first draft of new precinct lines and new ward lines. I have done this with an eye toward, number one, making sure that the districts are all equally sized. I've gotten the deviation down to 0.16. to 1/16 of 1%. So Mr. Manske challenged us all last week and said he'd like to see the districts with a deviation of no more than 1%, which is quite low. The federal government requires a deviation of no more than 10%. Mr. Manske asked us for 1%, and I've gotten the districts down to 1/16 of 1%. The greatest variance between one ward and another is 64 people. So they are all equally sized. I have also tried as best as I could to preserve neighborhoods, to not split neighborhoods, to not split communities, and to follow major streets, to not split precincts over the interstates, for example, or heavily traveled streets where possible. Can't say in a city of St. Paul that we've done that every single time, but far more often than not, I think we have. We have, what else can I tell you? We've tried to minimize the amount of change overall. Within the districts, we've tried to keep the wards basically similar to the way they have been drawn for the past 10 years. It didn't seem to me to be worth it to reinvent the wheel, especially at this late date. And most of all, with a nod to our friends in Ramsey County, we have tried to make sure that every we've made sure that every one of the precincts has a polling location attached to it. Mr. Manske had said last week that each time we've gone through redistricting, he's tried to reduce the number of precincts in the city of St. Paul, and he'd like to see it reduced even a little further. We've picked up that mantle as well. answered that challenge, we've reduced the number of precincts by about 10%. We're right now at 87 precincts instead of 95. We have tried to respect language minorities and minority groups, and made sure in particular that District 6 had a significant Asian population. It's just below 40%. Right now, we want to make sure that that every minority group and language minority group has an opportunity to elect one of their own. We have made sure that all of the districts are compact and contiguous and are, of course, in accord with the Federal Voting Rights Act, including Article 2. So, Mr. Chair, if you or anybody has any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I'm happy to share my screen and let you look at what, again, is a first draft.
Folks have any initial questions, or do we want to just get right to the maps?
Get to it.
Commissioner Montgomery.
Just a question on the diversity piece that you put together. Does the map, or whatever you're going to present, take in that? I was hoping to see the diversity thing broken down.
Yes, ma'am, it does. Or at least it does to the extent that the United States Census Bureau breaks it down. We can tell you, for example, the number of people the census labels black. We cannot distinguish between Somalis and African Americans who have been here for decades to come, for example. We cannot distinguish between Hmongs and Cambodians or Chinese. The census just simply labels them Asian. But to the extent the census allows us to, we've done that, and I can show that to you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's look at the maps then, Mr. Heller. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's let me share my screen with you. And tell me if you can see this.
Yes, we can, but it's very small.
Yeah, well, it's getting bigger. Okay. All right, hold on. Okay. It's a big city. I'm going to show you Ward 4 is here in green. At the top left corner of my screen. Down below it in gold is Ward 3. In the center of the city, to the south, in pink is Ward 2. Ward 1 is in the middle. Ward 5 to the north, Ward 6 in the northeast corner, and Ward 7 in gray below. Let me see if I can help you even further. If I do this and I do this, maybe that makes it easier for you to see.
Yes, very much so. Thank you. So, Mr. Heller, as we're looking at these, you described it as probably a minimal change maps or working off of the existing maps as a starter. Is that correct?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's really minimal change. I would say it is It's little change. It is not de minimis change, but it is little change.
Can you just point out again, while we have it visually in front of us, the areas where you where it differs from the previous current existing maps?
Oh, I can do even better than that. Give me a minute. Sorry, I should have had that layer added. Should have had that on there.
Take your time. We're not in a hurry.
Yeah. Let's see. How am I gonna do this?
Yeah. While you're working on that, I'd be interested in feedback from our commissioners on what is the
This meeting is being recorded and or transcribed.
What would be helpful as a format for us to be able to analyze or look at this between now and the 11th? So again, I think Mr. Heller's walking through these, but I'm wondering, and this may be something Mr. Heller has to answer too, is what can be exported, where can it be exported, how could we access it so that we could get into the details of where things are grouped together and look at it outside of this meeting or get other feedback from the community, I guess.
Yeah, so, Mr. Chair, I could help you on that.
Thank you.
We've been working on this. So Dave has created PDF versions of each of the ward maps.
Mr. McClung, will you identify yourself just for the recording?
Absolutely. Brian McClung, Park Street Public. Dave's created PDF versions of each of the ward maps. I could email that to you right now, and then if you want to distribute it that way, so you can look at those. And she had,
we're going to
print those as well, so you can have the hard copies to look at. That's probably the best way, right, just to get that and look at it. And what Dave's going to do here, get these layers sorted out, is show the existing wards as a red line on the map so you can see where those shifts have occurred. I'll just tell you anecdotally as we start to look at these and think about it. Like Dave said, it's probably not a least changes map, but it's a not a lot of changes map. So I think that's the way to look at this, is that as you look at the structures of the wards as they exist, and especially as you look at communities of interest, it was pretty well represented by the existing map. So there's nothing compelling in what happened in the last 10 years to really make dramatic changes to the current ward outlines. Where you will see some changes are mostly, from our perspective, to try to kind of remedy some of the weird spots, and we talked about this last week. There are just some precincts and places that didn't really fit great in the current map, and so we really started from that perspective, which was we need to balance out the population, and let's look where we can sort of smooth those edges in the process of doing that. So that's really a lot of what has happened in this map is to try to do that. And so you'll see a little bit that Ward 5, for example, kind of goes up to the northwest a bit and brings in a little bit more of the area around Como Lake and kind of the northern part of where the zoo is and some of that. And then, you know, as a result, you know, it also kind of comes down around to Railroad Island, which has, I think, been a problematic neighborhood in redistricting forever because of the way that it's isolated and that, you know, frequently it's in Ward 2 and, you know, sort of a downtown ward. But the, you know, residents of that neighborhood don't feel like they're part of downtown. So one of the things that we talked about was bringing that around. So that's now in Ward 5 in this map. And so with some of those changes then to keep the population balanced again, you'll see that Ward 1 bumps up north a little bit into what had been Ward 5. So that's really, to me, that's the spot where you might see the most change. You know, there are a couple of other places that you'll probably notice, you know, because of the uniqueness of the current wards. So right now, Ward 2 has kind of a spur down West 7th that juts, you know, down into Councilmember Tolbert's ward. So that's smoothed out in the proposed new draft here. Trying to think of others that really, you know, struck me or came to mind. Really, in the east side, 6 and 7 have very few changes. It's real. There's just kind of a little move in there between the two, like the kind of northern boundary of 7 shifts just a little bit. I think there might be a couple of moves on the edge of 6, but not too much. Yeah, Rick.
I'm just curious about how that's, since those were the two wards with the most significant population change.
They were oversized, and so there is a little bit of 6, I think, that came out into 5, right. Mostly. So you'll see that when Dave pulls this up or when you look at the printouts. That's a good question. I'll have to look at that again. Okay. That's right. You know, yeah, that's where they were oversized. But even though they were oversized, it wasn't dramatic. You know, it wasn't like we really had to take a bunch of population out of those wards. So I do think that for the most part, people will look at, you know, this, and of course, you know, again, this is a draft. This is not intended to be like, this is the map we hope you pass, right? This is just to have something down that we can use for a discussion point. But if the map ended up being in this neighborhood, you know, in the range of what you'll see here, I think most people in St. Paul would be very comfortable with it. I think they would recognize what they saw there.
Commissioner Olten, and then we'll go to Commissioner Montgomery.
Mr. McClung, one of the things about, you were saying that little change, not de minimis change, I think as Mr. Howell said. I suppose that if you hadn't gotten so precise about getting the deviation down to 0.16, which I think is great,
yeah,
that you've done it, but had you not been that precise about it, there would have been fewer changes. Is that correct?
I think that's fair. Yeah, I think we really did want to get that deviation down as low as possible. And you'll be able to see when Dave pulls it up and you have the population numbers for each of the wards. I mean, a couple of the wards are off by 4 people, right? I think there are 2 wards off by 4 and 1 ward off by 6. Like, it's very close. And, you know, that's a key principle, of course, is to try to balance that as much as possible. So, yeah, if we had left room for a greater deviation, it would have been possible to maybe make fewer changes overall. But still, I think even with this level of change, it's not, you know, it's not dramatic. It's not something people will look at and feel like we really turned the map on its head.
I'm looking at the old ward map and for Ward 1, and I know we're in the middle of the world, but there seems to be a whole lot of deviation just in just north, but it looked like there was some going.
We'll be able to get into that a little more. In my recollection, yeah, the most noticeable part was that, like, an entire precinct that is currently in 5, essentially, moved into one. So it looks kind of like a top hat, right, on the top part of the ward. I think there are some, there's some movement on both the east and west boundaries as well. As we talked about, that's where we had to, we're really kind of shifting people, right? Those wards are the wards that were underpopulated. So we're, looking at, 5-4-1. What's Councilmember Tolbert's word? Blanking. Three. As wards that we needed to move some population into. So I think you will see, a little bit of that for sure. Yeah. But I think, and again, that's why, we want to bring this to you all and have the conversation and think about, all right, if you do this. The tricky part, of course, is that when you start shifting out of this, it's hard to keep that deviation this low. So, as we worked on the maps and just, made a few changes here and there, based on, things like we tried to keep pain in one ward and not have it be a boundary because it's such a, kind of critical corridor in that part of the city. We went and at one point it was on there and then we shifted it over and then shifted over and then you got to take some out somewhere else. So that's the puzzle, of course, that you get into when we start moving stuff. I think that's good.
In terms of what will be available to the public to comment on the maps in the process, when we talk about making PDFs available, are they going to be at a level of detail, sort of, I would say, more detailed than this, comparable to the maps that are on the Ramsey County website, where you can sort of zoom in on the PDF and sort of see individual streets? Or is this sort of a version of this what's going to be available?
Yeah, I mean, that's more Dave's got to be let back in now. He looks frozen. That's really more Dave's area of expertise about, how we can, kind of get presentation-ready versions of this. But it seems to me like we ought to be able to have something that you can, because that's what you really want to be able to understand is, okay, what street is that? That is your boundary here, and let's narrow in.
Ryan, I can do that. I'm back. Sorry, my computer internet fell out, but I can tell you streets. I can zero in as close as you want.
My question was less about what you are able to show the members of the commission and more about what will be available, i.e. can be posted to a website for members of the public to comment on. And I think there's sort of two questions. It was said that you could make PDFs available. And I wanted to know, by PDF, do you mean some slightly larger version of what has been handed out or something more comparable to the ward and precinct maps that are available for the current redistricting or for the current wards and precincts on the Ramsey County website, where, a member of the public could scroll in and sort of see an individual street?
So typically what I would do is I would send a shape file of the entire map to the city of St. Paul, and the city would produce the maps as it wants.
Okay.
I can make PDFs as big or as small as you want with as much or as little detail as you want. But typically that's something that the city will do by manipulating a shapefile that I would send them.
Okay. My second question is just there's percentages on all these precincts on the document that handed out. Is that percentage above and below the ideal precinct size?
Correct. That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
And Ramsey County was very emphatic that they were not looking to equalize precincts because their priority was making sure that every precinct had a polling place. And different polling places are different sizes and can accommodate different numbers of people. So they would say to me, for example, over in 210, there's a precinct that has a very large voting place, or Humboldt School over in 212 is a very large precinct, can accommodate a lot of people. The Jingming Academy down in 25 is very, or 35 is very small and cannot accommodate a lot of people. So sizes of the precincts are based in large part by the reality of what kind of polling location we have to work with.
So I have a question, Mr. Heller, on just as we prepare for the meeting on the 11th, do you have advice on how we best frame the question for our engagement with the public? Is it by having one singular map? I know this is just our first rough draft. Are you envisioning several maps for folks to see differences in what is possible, or to react to those pieces, or any insight you can share from your work with Clark County or others on what was effective in giving you insights from those engagements?
You know, that's a great question. We've had, in Clark County alone, for example, we did it both ways. In 2011, we submitted three very, very, very different maps to the public to comment on. In 2021, we submitted very similar maps for the public to comment on. I don't think there's any one right or wrong way to do this. I think the best thing is to say to the public, here's a map that we are thinking of. It's very similar to what we currently have, but we want to make sure that we are hearing you and taking in your concerns. And if there's something that you thought was not right with the last map, this is your chance to have your voice heard on it. I think to send one map up there and ask for comments on it, I think that's fine. This is not a which map do you prefer thing. This is a we want to get your input and make the map right.
Yeah, and I would say, again, as I think of what would be helpful for the community to respond to, some of those overlays of maps I think would be really helpful, the current versus what is proposed on this. I think district councils overlapping with the existing or with the proposed map. You know, maybe there are other commissioners that have other thoughts on other details or overlays. I mean, major highways, major streets, in a little bit more clarity for a kind of larger, broader perspective map, I think is helpful. So I do think the natural inclination when you're looking at the map is to say, where's my house? And then where's my local street? And where's my polling location? And I think every single person is probably going to start from that as their grounding place. And so if we can ground the map in, you know, the different experiences that they know or maps that they understand, then I think they'll get a better perspective and be able to give us better feedback. Because that's one of my biggest concerns. A is getting the right people to give us feedback, and then B is to give them enough context that they can tell us what they want to tell us in a way that we can use it. So, sure. And I have kind of in my mind had the idea of having the old maps and then one or two other options so that folks can pick favorites from amongst that, but I don't know if that's the vision that other commissioners have had too, so that there's something out there. But I also know creating a whole nother additional map is in this time frame may be challenging too. So I know Commissioner Fury or Commissioner Kerr and then Commissioner Fury.
Oh, I didn't have my hand up.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. May I interrupt for a second?
Sure.
I've got my screen on share and I have posted a map. I posted the version of the map with the red lines around it, so you could see the old districts overlaid on top of the new.
So that's very helpful.
Excuse me. Yeah, I think that's a very helpful perspective. That'll be one of those where will be really helpful for folks to be able to look at. Commissioner Kerr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think to your question of how to present and how to show, one thing I would just ask perhaps for these meetings is to, for presentation purposes, to take the precinct labels off of it for now, because it's very difficult for me to see kind of the layout of the entire ward when these precinct labels are on the map.
Sure. Yes, sir. I've done that, as you can see on the screen that you're looking at, and I'm happy to do that with anything I send in the future.
Thank you.
Yeah, Commissioner Montgomery. I think he said... I don't know if Mr. Heller, Commissioner Montgomery is wondering, is there an overlay of major streets or how folks would be able to say, is that an option or a functionality that exists within MAP-2?
It is. And I've got the streets turned on. I would just have to get in closer. For example, if you want to look at Ward 1 and see streets, you can see there, here's University right smack in the middle, and it's labeled as such, but you really have to get at that, you know, that level of granularity to see major streets.
Yeah, Commissioner Montgomery, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the old one with the streets in it, and I'm having a hard time. I see the durations on the new one. But I'm not picking up where, in my head, I'm kind of thinking where it's going, but I don't have the streets to tell me where it's really going. And there's a big difference between the old and the new. Mm-hmm.
You see that in Ward 1 now, it loses that bottom left corner into 4, and then it gains that precinct into 5. Then there's a couple of little just sections there in the south and north, but it's really those two moves are, because that red line is the old boundary. Yep. Right. And so that's the, you know, so that's how much it lost is, you know, what is that? 4 precincts in that, you know, southwest corner. And then it picks up, you know, what were, you know, kind of 4-ish precincts to the north. Yeah. So that's the move there.
Please keep in mind, a lot of these changes were dictated by the state.
Yeah.
When they redrew the state legislative maps, because precincts can't cross a state legislative district. And so when the state would draw a funky shaped line, I had to follow it. So for example, over here, that was a funky shaped line that the state drew, and we had to follow it.
And Mr. Heller, just remind us, so the precincts cannot be cut in half by a legislative line, and ward boundaries, do those have to align with those legislative boundaries as well?
They don't. They have precincts, as you said, precincts cannot be cut by a legislative line, and the ward boundaries have to be an agglomeration of precincts.
Okay.
Precincts can... You could have adjacent precincts that straddle a state line, but a precinct itself can't cross a state house line.
Thank you, Commissioner Barco.
I hate to ask about my home precinct, but I think it's necessary to clarify the map. I'm looking at 311 and 313 on the handout. It looks to me like 313 is sort of an island within, surrounded on three sides by 311, so that instead of sort of dividing 311 and 313 between two things, you've got sort of 311 both to the northeast and southwest of 313. Am I reading that correctly?
You are, and it's going to change.
Ah, okay.
That is the one piece of the map that I can tell you is going to change.
Okay.
This area right here, for example, is going to go back into Ward 2. It needs to.
Yeah. Wait, say that again.
This area right here where my cursor is.
That needs to go back to Ward 2?
It's going to go back to Ward 2.
Including
this is the interstate right here.
Right, the Oklahoma thing?
Does it have to go back because population equality or?
No, it's because I really should not have allowed a precinct to straddle an interstate.
So you can cut that, but conceivably you could cut that into two precincts or cut off part of that and add that to a neighboring precinct, Mr. Heller, based on the kind of art and science of it.
Correct. Though the number of people who live over here, again, where the cursor is so small,
yeah,
that it would make more sense to combine it with these precincts over here.
Yeah. Commissioner Alton.
And then just as a practical matter, Mr. Heller, the finger, the whatever, goes that stays in 3? That goes away from...
This will be in 3, yes.
Right. So 10 years ago,
The tenure that was done by Mr. Mansky when they drew it last time, that will go away.
Yeah.
This will be a straight line. Sorry. This will be a straight line right here along the interstate.
And we had this, that conversation this should, 10 years ago.
This is Pat's wrong.
Looks like Oklahoma.
Another question for you, sir. The little jag in 4-7 that is to the south of 3-7, sort of at the top there, is that mandated by legislative boundaries, or was that a choice?
Boy.
If you don't know off the top of your head, don't worry about it.
No, here. I'll stop sharing my screen for a second. And it will take me 1 minute to get you an answer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Barker, could you show us which map you're on?
I'm talking about this little chunk of 4-7 that sort of loops around under 3-7.
First page. First page.
I think we're at the point of trying to make pretty lines as a group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and just sort of, walking.
Here.
You know, yeah. You want to try to...
If it helps... I can show you something different and answer those kinds of questions. So here, let me go back to sharing my screen. If you can see this now. The red lines, can all of you see here where this line is gold and red together?
Yeah, yeah.
Those are legislative mandates. Those are the state house lines.
Okay.
So to answer your question about 4-7, I'm moving over here. And that's a legislatively mandated line along University up here.
Okay, yeah, it's not, we could change that. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so 4-7 is not legislatively mandated that way. 4-7, the boundary line is over here, right? It continues along the south. So I can't move the bottom of 4-7, but I could move the top or the side.
So,
yeah, Commissioner Alton,
Chair Freeman, Mr. Heller. So, just as a practical matter, two questions. One is, will we have the ability to post this on our website so we and interested people from the public can do what you're doing now? Is one question. And go ahead and answer.
You will have, yes, I will send you a shape file that you can post on your website for sure.
Okay. And then the second question is, we don't want people doing this, I don't think. But what if, I mean, how hard is it for you to, example, just using Commissioner Varco's example of 4-7, okay, I want to change that line. How hard is it to you to manipulate the software to do that, and does it automatically then calculate the difference in population and so forth?
The answer to the second question is yes. The answer to the first question is, how hard is it? It's not that hard. It's time consuming,
right,
but it's not difficult.
Okay. I'm just wondering how the software works, I guess. Yeah. So this is great. You've done wonderful work. I'm just curious. And going forward, when we want to make changes, or we want to discuss making changes, we want to say, okay, what would happen if we did blank? And then could you show us in real time, oh, you do that, and then this happens?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Varco.
Just another quick question. You said we've reduced from 97 to 87 precincts. That's 8 less by my math. Was it uniform across the wards, or did some wards lose 3 or 4 precincts? Just sort of rough estimate of where we lost precincts.
So remember, the wards are all almost exactly evenly populated.
Yeah.
So you will have wards like Ward 1 that has 13 precincts. You will have others like Ward 5 that only have 10 precincts, but they all have the same number of people.
Right.
And the number of precincts is driven more than anything else simply by the size of the polling place and the location of the polling place. So let me give you an example. In 4-7, since we were there, you could see the polling location, the Land Recreation Center is right here. Typically, I would have followed 46 straight down as a busy road and put the polling place on the other side. But because we wanted to incorporate that polling place in that precinct, the precinct jogs over and down over here and is sort of L-shaped.
Yeah, I guess my question just is, is there any one precinct that sticks out where people might be upset that they lost an unusually high number of precincts?
Or any one ward?
Yeah, or was the sort of loss of precincts fairly evenly distributed across the city?
It was not evenly distributed across the city in terms of precincts, but again, I would remind you, the number of people in each ward is almost exactly evenly distributed.
I got that.
You could have two houses that are each 3,000 square feet. One house may have 5 bedrooms. One house may have 3 bedrooms, but they're still the same size house.
I totally understand that. My question is,
yes.
Are there going to be people from any one particular ward who say, we had 13 precincts before this and now we have 9?
No, nobody, I don't think anybody was cut that bad, but there are 13 precincts, for example, in Ward 4 and Ward 1. There's only 10 in Ward 5.
Right. Okay.
If you look at Ward 1, for example, sorry, just to beat a dead horse for a second, if you look at Ward 1 on my screen, you could see here this precinct 1-2 is 25% below ideal deviation. 1-5, 27% below ideal deviation. 1-13, 61% below ideal deviation. But we have 1-13 here because we didn't want to ask voters to cross Interstate 94 to get from here to the Ravoux high-rise polling place.
Mr. Hiller, I know we talked about, I'm probably going to use the wrong term, but communities of interest around race and language. Can you show us on the maps where you're seeing those concentrations or where those may have changed?
Sure, be happy to. I've got to get out of the precinct map and go back to the ward map, if you don't mind.
Sure. In the meantime, I have another question that maybe is a little simpler. If you're adjusting the map that you're working off of, can that be done working off of the same precinct? So just taking the jigsaw puzzles as they exist, as you've drawn them there, and placing them together, obviously that's going to probably deviate more from that absolute equal of all the wards. Or would you need to redraw all of the precincts in order to create like an alternative map?
Okay, so let me answer that question first and tell you I can move whole precincts in this map from one ward to another. But I cannot change the makeup, the composition of those precincts. Right? So in theory, I could take this precinct and
we can't see your maps currently, sir. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold
no
on.
Problem.
Sorry. Okay, can you see now?
Yes.
Okay, I could take this one precinct that is currently in Ward 1, as you can see, right? Mm-hmm. I could take that one precinct in Ward 1, and I could put it in Ward 4. And then I could take another precinct in Ward 4 and move it to Ward 1. I could swap those two, but I cannot change the composition of the precincts in this map. I have to go to the other map, which is the precinct map, to change that.
Great. I was just trying to think through the sense of if you're laying out several options, you know, again, this uses some of the similar shifts, but if you were to, say, take War 7, for example, and cut it in half and shift the whole clock around a half step, not saying we want to do that, but, like, you could do that with the existing precincts without a whole ton of legwork. If there was a compelling reason to do it. Again, we've got highways and rivers to go through, but I'm just trying to think of what other deviations could get a different reaction or perspective for folks as they're looking at it.
Yes.
Okay. So back to the original question was those communities of interest particularly.
Yes. So if you look up at the top of the screen, I don't know how big you can see it, but here, for example, you can see the black population of each of those seven wards is listed here in black.
Small.
If I want to look at Asians, here it is. Here it is. A more accurate definition of African American of black would be right here.
I think we would love to see those exported as something that could be sent to us separately, so that we could look at that. If that's, or if you have a suggestion for a different way that we can look at that, it's just a little hard for us to get it right now with the size of this.
Mr. Chairman.
Sure, that's easy to do.
Commissioner Kerr.
Yeah, I guess I would ask that question whether or not it's possible to visualize it, maybe by census block or something overlaid onto these maps so that we could see those areas of concentration visibly.
Okay.
Okay.
No, I'm not. No, most certainly I'm not. And if you tell Bonnie that I did that, I'm going to deny it. Fat.
While we're waiting on Mr. Heller, I'm wondering, Kirsten and Ms. Moore, what I'm trying to think as we're planning for the 11th, wondering what capacities the city has to make visuals or figure out how we enlist, whether it's OTC or others, for when we're at Rondo Library, something that folks can grapple with. I appreciate these, but they're not going to probably meet anybody's needs to figure out where we're at. So I'm wondering what capacity we have in staff resources or in collaboration with Mr. Heller to ensure we have visuals. Again, I'm thinking overlays of maps with the legislative district, with district council, with communities of interest is I think what we're trying to look at here, with the old map, with something that looks at the precincts old and new and how those change so folks can see that, and then something that shows on those maps those polling locations. But I'd be interested if folks have other ideas of variations. Now, my default is more information, which is sometimes not helpful either. So I'm looking for our commission to narrow it down to what is too much information, what are too many variations, how do we hone in on something that folks can actually grapple with so we can get that feedback going forward.
Okay, to answer your question, by the way, I have changed the numbers on the screen so that these numbers within each of these census blocks is now the number of Asian people as compared to the number of total people.
Thank you.
So if you want to see, for example, where do Asian people tend to aggregate, this is 855 people of Asian descent, 776 people of Asian descent here, only 2 people of Asian descent over here by Railroad Island.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would be another very interesting thing, but again, I'm starting to get up to hundreds of maps in my mind, like each ward by Asian and African American. And again, I'm wondering what the capacity is to make some of that available online versus printing all those maps is just not going to be possible too. And so,
again, every one of the maps, I can give you a separate page of demographics that would show, you know, your percentage of Asian, for example. Okay.
Thank you. I guess, Mr. Chairman, I was hoping, I guess, in theory, that there would be like color splatches or some other way of showing that those deviations maybe to norm or just in terms of raw numbers, but rather than the numerical version, which is very difficult to detect the pattern within. So that's my idea, but I am the same boat as you are, Mr. Chairman. I want more and a lot of detail, so forgive me for that. I'm the same way.
Yeah, and I don't know, Mr. Heller, is that even a functionality to do gradients and different densities of color to reflect that, or is that not a functionality of that?
It's not.
Okay, thank you.
That's in our wish for 10 years from now.
Yes.
Product development.
So I'm, again, trying to get practical on our timeline. We're now at 4 o'clock. We need to be out of here by 4:30. I want to be conscious of all of that. As we look at our next two meetings, again, really appreciate, Mr. Heller, this information for us to start working with. It sounds like one of the big tasks is to figure out what exactly to export from this existing map and make available either now on a public website or make available to us to grapple with. And then the 11th is when we're coming back, or the 8th is when we're coming back to provide feedback based on whatever we've been able to look at or what other feedback comes in to hone in on the final maps and how we want to approach the public hearing piece, and then that's on the, that one is on the 11th. And so then the gist of that meeting, I would hope, or I would assume, is us listening rather than speaking, from, with feedback from folks in the community. And then again, we're back to the, to figuring out between the 11th and the 16th, how we take that input, get that through you, Mr. Heller, into some suggestions in the map, and then land on something on the 16th. So I'm feeling massively overwhelmed by all of those stages. And so knowing that you'll be the one sitting at a map, Mr. Heller, throughout this process, I'm open to your feedback on how we do that in as smooth a possible way.
I think that I want to get as much feedback as I can from you, and I know you all want to get as much feedback as you can from the public. Let me talk to the folks at Ramsey County on Monday and find out who in the city of St. Paul I can send a shape file to where they could post it on their website and they could print out in on large paper in some detail drafts of this map or a similar version of this map and solicit public feedback, and then we can take the feedback and decide what changes we want to do.
That makes sense to me. And again, that's the other piece where I would reiterate, I've said it a couple of times, wherever additional coordination is needed with city staff, I'd love to figure out who that is and make sure they're connected with Mr. Heller, knowing we don't have time to chase around for the right person next week between now and the 8th and the 11th, too. We've got to get him the right people. And so, again, Sherry and Kristen, I know you're here in the room, but I don't know that you're the right people or that's a part of your responsibility. I don't know if you have suggestions on how we coordinate that work or whether we're where we need to be and I don't need to worry about that piece.
We're not people that would do it, but we can work with the ones. Yeah, we can try to find.
Okay.
Yeah. I could find them. I'll find them through Ramsey County. They'll know.
Okay.
That much I can tell you. Is there anything that you've seen in these maps, in this map, that you say, oh my, that's got to change?
I need to spend, from my perspective, I need to spend more time looking at the actual map because I'm trying to guess where landmarks are based on precincts. And unfortunately, the detail in front of me on these printed sheets doesn't really allow me to get to that level to say, yeah, that street doesn't make sense or it does make sense. So that's the biggest challenge. And knowing that we can't get into your system to manipulate it ourselves, I think that'll be the key part as soon as possible with city and Ramsey County staff to figure out. Again, you can't send it to me because I can't send it to everybody, and that's open meeting. We need the state or the city staff to help coordinate that or posting things online to communicate those pieces too. So, yeah, Commissioner Kirk.
Right.
I just have one question that it's, and I'm having the same difficulty with scale, sense of scale and reference points. But if I look at the first page of the map that we package we were given, I see, you know, there's quite a bit of north-south deviation within wards. If you go north to south, for example, from top left, 410 to 12 to 113 to 312 to 21 and then to 310. So just in the course of going north to south, again, I don't have any sense of magnitude, but we're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4 different wards that cross in that stretch of land. And I don't, I mean, I'd like to know if there was any thinking or rational reasons why that might be, or even if it matters, because it might be too far a distance that no one cares. But it looks odd to me just as a first level view of it.
I can't. When you say the first page, I don't have copies.
Okay. I was looking at the PDF of the Ward 2 map, Dave.
Okay.
So if you're looking at the left edge of that section,
yeah.
Which just it's kind of because of
right here
that slice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you see, Dave. Right. Yeah. Exactly. So you see, there's a little bit of. There's Ward 3, and then you go straight north, and there's Ward 2, and then it's Ward 3 again, and then it's Ward 4, and then
right.
It's Ward 1. So right. There's that, like, kind of stair step that happens in that part of the map.
Why, in other words, you're asking, why does Ward 1 extend over here?
Not necessarily. I'm just – because now that part of Ward 1 is now also part of now kind of Ward 4. It's sort of surrounded by Ward 4, and it's also, you know –
where he's going is
the question I want. Okay. It's hard for me to know, like, well, are those the similar neighborhoods? Are they different? I mean, it's I just really can't grasp that scale, I guess, when I look at that. But
is that northwest corner just below where his cursor is? Is that University in Snelling?
This is University right here.
Yeah.
And
Snelling is
that's University. This is the Midway. The old Midway Stadium is right here.
Is Snelling.
Yeah.
Mr. Eller, could you move your cursor to the right, just a little bit to the north, higher, a little bit lower. So that corner right there, below your cursor, is University and Snelling.
Oh, is it then? Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Commissioner Clark.
I think it would help with future handouts if you printed these in landscape mode versus portrait. That way we can increase the scale for more detail.
Thank you for the suggestion, Mr. Clark. I think we're struggling with the size and scope, and I think anything that we can do on that to get to the detail level would be helpful. I have one more question, Mr. Heller. I'm wondering, so that shape file that you send, are you able to send that to all of us as well? And is that something that we can load into the free software and juggle with ourselves at? Because I know Mr. Mansky used a different software that to draw his maps that I think is a free software on mine. Is there any transferability between those functions if we wanted to play God like you and draw our own maps?
I'm going to respectfully disagree with the last part of the premise of your question, but I don't believe that the free software he uses can import a shapefile, but I'm not completely certain. I've used the software that he's used before, but I've never used it for a professional job to export anything that way.
If it's possible, either through a Dropbox, if it's a huge file, or to send it some way that we could access the file that you're working off of, I think that's something my nerd brain wants to try to play with maybe on Sunday when I have some downtime. So if that's possible to access that file, I'm not expecting you to do that work for me. I'll see if it works, and if it's a dead end, so be it. But
so here's what I would tell you. First, you have to you wouldn't be able to replicate it because you would have to have the file of the precincts that I used, as opposed to the 2011 precincts that. You know, are in there now.
That makes sense.
So I don't know that it's exactly replicable, but if you wanted to kind of play around and get close, it would be way easier. Given that we're not splitting any precincts, it would be way easier to simply take the documents that you have and just copy them into the software. That would take you, 15 minutes.
Okay. So we could do that by the census block and just copy based on that to be able to replicate what you've got there.
Not by the census block, by the voting district.
By the voting district, okay. floating.
Right, which that's much larger than a census block.
Yep. Recognizing we got about 15 minutes till we got out of need to get out of here. Any other questions? Or I think the immediate goal to the front of my head is making sure we have what we need for the 8th. And we have enough direction to Mr. Heller to amend the maps, or whether there is more direction he needs before we come to a more specific map. And then any direction to city staff or Mr. Heller on the types of maps we want to be able to access or have available in the public.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah. Commissioner Unger.
You know, we've got to keep in our minds that we've got that store display where the cans are pyramided here, and don't take a can from the middle of the pile. This thing is balanced by population besides precincts and every line that can be drawn on it. It's not as simple as just grab a precinct and throw it over here.
For sure.
Like it works that way.
For sure. Very valid feedback, Commissioner Unger. I think we're also wanting to get into that granular level, some based on the communities that we know best and the feedback that we get to see if we can identify why you and your neighbor might be in a different polling location and if that makes any sense, knowing that we won't necessarily get it right. And the good part, at least on the precinct level, is that the Council can come back and adjust that after this year's election based on feedback or other problems. But I think we'd like to get it as close as possible. So
he walks.
In response to Commissioner Unger's comment, let me just say this, because he's exactly right. If you look on the screen where my cursor is, here at the northeast corner of Ward 1, this borderline that I've used is the state house line. So if you want to know, this was the old ward line. Mr. Heller, why did you move it over here? Well, the answer is because that's what the state did. And so by the state moving the line over here, that means Ward 1 has to pick up all these people. And with Ward 1 picking up those people, then it's got to lose people, which is why it lost people over here. Right? There was a sense up here that the Lake Como area had been wrongly divided, that this was a community of interest with people on the other side of the lake and north of the lake, and that all these people who lived around Lake Como, should be grouped together. And so that's why I moved these two precincts, into Ward 5. And so once you do that, then again, Ward 4 needs to grow, and so Ward 4 grew down here.
Okay, that's extremely helpful.
Fair enough.
That was very good explanation.
Very helpful. Any other questions or feedback? Oh, yep. Commissioner Fuhrer.
I'm kind of curious about Ward 7, since maybe it's just the it doesn't look like it's really changed that much, but maybe I just am not thinking about it. Like maybe there's some high-density housing there, or just a little change
in
a lot of voters or something.
You're exactly right. This is the only change in Ward 7. This is the only change.
And that is so many people that it makes up for the population.
But if right. And again, you may be saying, well, if it's so little and this is 1,900 people and this is 1,000 people and this is 999, like why didn't you just leave those two alone and follow the same line, Mr. Heller? Why did you unnecessarily change it? It's a good question. What do you think the answer is?
Friends.
Because this is how the state drew their state house boundary. And so this has to be part of Ward 7.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Commissioner Clark.
I'd like to commend Mr. Heller for the work you've done. And I think that any time you can redraw ward boundaries and have a 1.16 distinction, percent distinction between the populations, it's all going to work out. And God help us if everybody who's given the power to become cartographers and start jiggering everything, we'd be here forever.
You're developing a fan club, it seems, Mr. Heller, amongst the commission.
I will tell you all that getting this done in 1 week was a bear. Right? This is a lot of work. This was a lot of late nights, as Brian McClung can attest. This was a lot of late nights, a lot of early mornings. This was a lot of work to go from where we were last week to here.
Greatly appreciate it. Thank you for having this to share with us. So as we're concluding, I think I laid out kind of my thoughts on what those action items are. Mr. Heller, please don't hesitate to reach out to me via email if there's anything you need over the weekend and into next week as we prepare for the 8th. Same, Kristen and Sherry, as we need to coordinate what gets printed. I think we're currently still planning on the 8th once we have more access to those maps and details and look, another chance for us to provide that feedback. Again, that's scheduled as an in-person meeting here, and so we'll be set up, I forget if, in council chambers. So we'll again be able to look at
public hearing.
And I think that will have a public hearing component as well. So I'm wondering if any other business?
Yes. Commissioner Donnelly Cohen, the secretary of the commission, would have reported this had she not had to leave. But Wednesday morning, I guess, we received notice that the court had issued an order appointing two new commissioners to fill the two vacancies that were made. So Darren Tolbolt and Mike Hamm, who are in the audience, were appointed and will become members of the Charter Commission once they receive copies of the order and notice and acceptance of their appointment.
Welcome. So do we know if that's going to be before the meeting on the 16th when we have to vote, Mr. Chair?
Presumably, the U.S. Mail will deliver those acceptances. And presumably, the appointed commissioners will accept that appointment and duly file their acceptance and oath with the court before the 16th, in which case they would be seated as members of the commission at the meeting on the 16th.
They would be voting members.
This meeting is no longer being recorded or transcribed.
That's not an easy task.
All right, now let's get real.
Well, we hope in that short period of time, Mr. Tobold and Mr. Hamm, that you'll feel comfortable voting on a as folks interested in this work and happy to chat further about how we got where we are today and where else we still have to go based on our kind of previous meetings too. So happy to chat formally or informally about that at any point. So
we've got a rookie coming on that's a rookie retiree in Mr. Hahn. Congratulations.
A lot of free time on his hands to spend on maps, I hear, for the next couple of weeks. And maybe some interested folks in his household, too. So I think with that, we will adjourn. Thank you.
Second.